What's happening, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to the very first episode of the Secure D podcast. My name's Matt. I am Secure D, and thanks for tuning in. The podcast, it's the first episode, so please forgive any teething issues. We'll get it all rectified in the future, but I'm pretty happy with the way it's turned out for the first one. The podcast is going to be a sort of discussion about all the things that Security is involved in, not about me specifically, but just more about the field. So a lot about shoes and customs, and then, you know, designer toys, some movie stuff, just a bunch of fun sort of pop culture stuff, obviously with a focus on sneakers. I'm going to have a co-host with all my episodes. It's going to be a range of buddies that work in and around the sneaker industry. My co-host today is my friend Laurie. We became mates working on my Globe collaborations. He is an apparel and accessories designer, and we share a lot of the same interest in design and aesthetics. So it was a no-brainer for my first guest. There's also going to be some feature interviews that pop up throughout the podcast. So a lot of the questions I get through social media are, you know, how I started and where I, you know, get inspiration and all that sort of stuff. And luckily enough for me, I get to travel quite a bit. I've met a lot of interesting artists and designers, and by interviewing them and sort of getting their story and where they've come from and what they've been able to achieve and how they do so, I think will be really beneficial to people that are up and coming, and also then people that are just interested in art design. So thanks again for tuning into the first episode. I hope you enjoy it. If you have any topic ideas, please send them through. Otherwise, I'm going to keep picking Arnie topics and stuff just for fun. Hit me up on Twitter at SecureD with anything that you think would be fun for us to talk about or that you're interested and want to know a little bit more about, and we will include it in the show. And if we do so, we'll give you a shout out as well. So thanks again, everyone. I hope you enjoy episode one, and let's kick it off. Sweet. What's happening, man?
Not too much for a Tuesday night. Yeah, it's pretty crazy little night. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, cheers for thanks for doing it for me. I don't want to say doing it with me, but doing the podcast. It'd be totally boring if I was just doing this by myself. So I think people would get sick of my voice as well.
Might only last a couple of weeks. You get bored of yourself.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have a holiday over Christmas. While everyone else is off, I tend to smash myself in the studio. So. It's nice to see another face for
sure, as opposed to most people getting smashed. You're smashing yourself in the studio.
Well, I don't drink anymore much. So, so basically today, is going to be the first kind of show that we do where we just discuss a range of topics. We've done a little bit of planning ahead of time, so this won't all be off the top of the head. And what we're going to do moving forward is hopefully with a bit of interaction with the listeners, you can submit topics for us to talk about. So if there's something happening in the sneaker, toy, art scene that you want us to discuss, you can hit me up at SecureD on Twitter and we can talk about that. Today we've obviously picked our own topics just for a bit of fun, but that I think is probably going to be the best way about it going forward. Otherwise we're just going to keep picking Jordan topics and basketball stuff and people are going to get sick of us. So today we're pretty much just going to kick it off with a recap of 2014 and our favorite shoes of the year. So I don't really have a 1 to 5, do you? Like, I just have like a 5. Like,
yeah, it was 5 actually. I had a whole bunch of them and then I had to really cull them down. It was tough, but yeah, I've got 5. There's definitely not a top. There's maybe a top 2.
Yeah, it's for me too. And the other thing I found too was there was like a couple of breakthrough silhouettes that didn't have a breakthrough colorway that made my top 5. So I'm not going to blow my top 5, but the ZX Flux, the triangular, was it called the Prism? You know, the one with all the mold, like
Prism.
The Prism, colorful one? Yeah, like that was really close to making my top 5.
Yeah.
But the ZX Flux to me was more important than just that one colorway. So it didn't make it. It was close, but that is a silhouette that I would have wanted to give a shout out if we were doing like top 5 silhouettes of the year.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I was very close to having Addy in there and I didn't actually get any Addies in there, but the tubulars, which I actually don't mind. I know you don't like them that much, but there was a few that I wanted to get in there, but they didn't make it this time. But.
Yeah, I like the tubulars. I'm not like a tubular hater. I just think they don't look quite as good in person. And with that silhouette coming from the Roshi, I just
prefer the Roam as my second choice. And then the Tubular would probably be third. And there's other brands that have tried it, which look even worse. But it's not in all a bad shoe, but I would buy the Roshe or the Roam first.
Yep.
So do you want to start? You kick it off with one, and then we'll just go back and forth, and we'll just reel off our 10.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, I'll kick it off with one that came out really late in the year. I didn't manage to get a pair.
I think I know what this is going to be.
Yeah. And it's a design studio and a designer I really, really love. It's the Fragment Design Air Jordan 1s.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough, or unlucky enough, to be around the Melbourne City when I saw 40 sneakerheads in chairs on Christmas Day.
Were they actually in their chairs?
Boxing Day. They're in their chairs.
A first.
And I knew my chances. Well, I wasn't going to sleep out over Boxing Day for this shoe as much as I would like to. But no, definitely in my top five. Awesome colorway. Anything with that Fragment Design sign off for me is a win. So.
And you're one of the few people that actually know what Fragment Design is.
Well, yeah.
So, I mean, well, I don't want to say that. I don't want to disrespect anyone that listens to the podcast, but I guarantee more than half the people who were out the front of Kicks 101 in the morning probably didn't have an idea what Fragment actually was.
No, that's true. Probably looking for a resale.
Yeah, exactly. I think don't quote me on the quantity, but I don't know if they had more than 18 of them. So if there was 40-odd people there, most of them were missing out and wasting the night. So.
Yeah, I heard it was only, I think, 4 sizes. 9. Oh, listen, I might be wrong. 9, 10, 11, 12 or something along those lines. But I wasn't there, so I don't know.
All right, so my first will be the Air Command Force Billy Hoyle White Man Can't Jump. It's there because I wanted it so bad when the movie came out.
Yeah.
I have them. I managed to get a pair without much difficulty, but I don't think I'll wear them. So it's kind of like this. I know it's a bit contradictory to put it in my top five if I'm not going to wear it. The shoe's super high. I'm sure back in the 90s I would have worn that when I was wearing basketball shoes, which we thought were comfortable back then.
Yeah.
But for now, like, I put it on and I was like, you know what? I think I'll just keep this one in the memory box. So it's in my top five because of what it meant to me being a kid who played ball.
Oh, nostalgia regions. Like, yeah. even the movie, like, it was awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, it's a great shoe. It didn't make mine, but awesome, notable release.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. What's next?
Taking a little bit of a left field approach, not the usual, like,
yeah.
although it's from a major company, but it's a Y3 Quasar High.
Yeah, sick.
In the khaki.
Yeah.
Also the black, like, they're on par for me, but I wasn't only going to put one of them in.
Yeah.
The Ninja inspiration, the sole,
so cool.
Like, everything on this thing, like, is slam dunk. I love it.
It's a dope shoe.
Yeah, really awesome shoe. Even when you see it, even when you have it on, awesome shoe. A little bit more expensive. I think they're $440 Australian. I'm not sure what they are in US, but
For a Y3 shoe, though, I'm not overly offended by that price point. I think you know what you're getting when you go for a Yamamoto shoe, and it's just killer. It looks like nothing else in the market as well, which is what kicks ass about it.
Yeah, no, exactly. But it also looks awesome on your foot, like. Nailed it in going away from the fact that it's not a Nike, not an Adidas, not a Reebok, but it's also it's something a little bit different, but it looks rad and not heavily branded with 3 stripes, even though it is affiliated heavily with Adidas. But awesome shoe.
Killer. All right, my next one is the Puma Disc. Everyone knew I was going to have a Puma Disc in there.
Definitely, I knew it was coming.
But I'm going to go with a colorway people probably didn't pick. It's the OG Bamboo colorway. If you don't know what it is off the top of your head, it's like a luxe white leather with like a really nice blue, tan, like caramel color on the heel. It's just a rad colorway.
It's an awesome shoe. I don't have any discs myself, but I know you love them. But
yeah,
awesome. Good pick.
Yeah, it's a bit out there. It's not something that was like super hyped. I mean, there was a lot of Puma shoes this year that managed to break through and like get tons of like hype and promo behind them. This colorway probably isn't one of them, but I mean, I got a lot of cool Puma discs this year, but like that's the one that I was really after. I mean, like everyone knows the Casina and you know the Size one, all the collabs, but that OG Bamboo colorway is just it's super fresh and it's something you're probably not going to see anyone else wearing it when you rock it down the street, which is also nice.
Yeah, well, especially with discs anyway, and they do look. That sort of like foam puffy sole is in at the moment. Like, you know, it's quite looks good at the moment. So you can get away with it with a lot of outfits as well.
Exactly. All right. What's next?
something close to my heart, some Air Max 1s.
Yeah.
And I think a really awesome way that they redid it was the Air Max days.
Yeah, fresh.
With the fluoro outsoles.
I remember talking to you about those when they were coming out.
Yeah, I was finding out how to get a pair, and luckily enough, they dropped them online, so I was able to get a pair pretty easily.
Yeah.
But I love them. Like, just a really awesome way of just doing this, like... paying homage to the original, but doing it in like a 2014 way.
I thought it was awesome. Nothing's more 2014 than like that vault and green too. Like, I remember when I worked at Nike, when that started happening, that colorway, and like, I remember seeing vault and being like, oh, that'll be gone in 12 months. But that shit's hung around.
Well, now
for
it's like,
years.
It's almost, you would say it's like their signature,
almost like a signature. Yeah. Outside of like orange, like the box orange, it's probably the signature colorway of Nike at the moment.
Yeah, totally.
My next, I don't need to talk about it much, is the Carmine 6. It's my favorite colorway of the 6. It doesn't come out all the time. It probably will from now on, but it's a shoe I'd never owned before, a shoe I always wanted, a shoe I didn't want to pay $500 for in an OG that was going to fall apart when I wear it.
Yeah.
Oh, when I, so to get a pair finally, I wore it the day I bought it, so... That's good enough for me.
I'll jump straight in there. And I didn't do Carmine. It was going to be Carmine, but I did the black infrared.
Yeah,
Air Jordan 6. So, I had them both on the page.
And
I went with just the black is awesome. But, yeah, the Carmine, I was close to putting that on there as well. But,
Nice. My next up is the Sabotage collab. He's a friend of mine, but... It was up there anyway with Mida, the New Balance MT580.
Oh, yeah. It's a cool one.
Super cool shoe, really nicely detailed, not over the top, but just lots of cool details, like the tongue tag with the bolt cutters because they have the cyclone fencing detail
in
Mida.
In
Japan. And yeah, it's just a really cool shoe. I mean, it's black and green. It's a killer colorway.
Yeah.
I was stoked on it, and I'm just really proud of Mark, like knowing where he comes from and knowing him so well. I think he didn't hold back, but just really showed a lot of maturity with the design of that shoe. And it was killer. I'm stoked to have a pair, and He did his like Sabotage logo and my name on the back of one for me as well.
You got a pair with your name like customized.
Yeah, he does that ID service. So he did that for me when he sent them over. I got them straight from Mark. So
lucky.
Really pumped. Yeah, that's a killer shoe. So straight in my top five.
Yeah. ending out mine. Once again, I wanted to make it a little bit different. I thought a really cool collaboration between End and Saucony. Shadow 5000, the burgers.
The only reason I didn't put this in here is because I knew you would. Like,
we talked about this when it first came out, and I actually didn't hunt down a pair when they first came out either.
Yeah.
But I love them. The colors are awesome. Like, the marketing pictures were rad.
Killer.
Oh, you got the sachets, like all the burgers paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Even that little woven label on the tongue with like the tonal burger is awesome. Yeah, no, I love it. Really cool shoe.
Really well done. And it shows you how to market a proper shoe with a story too. Mm. I hate when I see collabs that don't have a story, much like the way Sabotage's New Balance shoe told the story of Mita.
Yeah.
I think that really encapsulated the theme, and then to go above and beyond with the packaging.
Yeah.
I mean, that was maybe... I'm not a huge Saucony guy, but that was the first Saucony shoe I saw and I went, oh shit, I probably want to buy that.
Yeah, well, they're really up and... if anyone's got their ear to the ground, you can tell that they've got collabs, they've got colorways, those guys are coming hard.
Yeah.
And I thought this was one that was going to be... Well, this is one that sort of like everyone sort of go, oh, okay, yep, they're coming up, coming up, definitely.
Well, their last like 4 or 5 months has been bananas. Oh, there's so many coming out. All right, I'll wrap mine up. It's one that you've seen on a lot of top five lists this year, and I think it's kind of speaks for itself. It's the Concepts New Balance 977, pink suede, silver gator, three. It's just a killer colorway. One of my favorite pairs of New Balances is pink with black detailing, which I bought in Singapore about 6 years back. It's a 1500, and it's just a killer shoe. Like, it's the only real standout pink shoe for me this year, whereas like 2 or 3 years ago, there was pink sportswear shoes everywhere.
Yeah, they were.
Just a killer shoe. I mean, it's not overly original to pick that as number one. I think it might have been on the top of Sneaker Freakers lists as well, but I just thought it was a killer shoe. The resale on it isn't obscene. I've seen them go for about $275, $300.
Yeah, which is not too
bad. So they're still attainable.
Yeah.
And it's just a really cool shoe. It's just really nice. no like incredible amount of artwork or whatever. It's just a really cool use of material and a sweet looking shoe. So
yeah, it's good. It's good to see the lists are pretty interchangeable. Like I'd probably take any of your five.
Yeah,
like,
I'd probably easily. Take just about any of yours as well. I think I just want to like and going back to that silhouette thing. Although these shoes didn't make my top five, like I mentioned before, I really wanted to give a shout out to the Globe Rome. Anyone who's worn it loves it. And even though it looks a lot like the Roshe, when you actually try it on and wear it and notice the structural differences, it really stands alone. I'm a big fan of that shoe. The only reason it didn't get in my top five is because there hasn't been a standout colorway edition yet.
It's just been blacks and reds and grays. So, yeah.
But there might be one coming. And the 14's my favorite Jordan of all time. So that came back this year. Once again, nothing I'm in love with, really. But I've got every colorway just because it's my favorite shoe.
Yeah.
And then the Flux as well. So just three silhouettes that didn't quite make it because of a standout color. But
yeah,
three shoes that I was stoked to see come back. And then next year, I can already pick my shoe, like my list from next year. It's going to be Stabs. It's going to be anything ACG. It's going to be Air Trainer 3s are coming back. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, this year's insane. Like, if you've got any like for Jordans as well, you see there's a couple of releases.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's probably the perfect segue. Thank you for setting me up for that. The topic we have for topic two today is the Legend Blues. And I wanted to add a little bit onto this, which I didn't tell you about, but with the 30th anniversary of Jordan Brand, is there a risk moving forward that it's going to get buried? Now, Jordan Brand is such an enormous animal that, like, obviously it's not... When I say buried, I don't mean it's going to disappear. But if you've been around since the 25th anniversary of the Air Force One, you remember what the 25th anniversary of the Air Force One did to the Air Force One.
Yeah.
It killed that shoe for like 3 years.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was disgusting. I didn't want anything to do with it after that. Like,
I was lucky enough to be in Singapore for the event over there. And it was amazing in Clark Quay. They had a killer setup, you know, and they released those Anaconda and Gator skin authentic, $1,500 Air Force Ones. They had an Air Force One like museum set up. It was rad. They did the original six, all that stuff. And then
the shop in Tokyo, was that 25th then or 20th?
I think it might have been 25th. Yeah, it would have been 25th.
I went to that store. It was awesome. Yeah. Store. Really cool store.
It's just, and then, but then like what happened? Like all these kids woke up at the end of the year and were like, why the shit do I have 15 pairs of Air Force Ones? I don't wear Air Force Ones.
Why are there like white Air Force Ones all over the world? Like, it was.
And so just to hit some stuff that's come out about the Legend Blue this week, the statistics have varied and I don't think Jordan Brand have released anything officially, but from what I've been able to gather online, it looks like anywhere between 300,000 to 350,000 pairs
of
Legend Blue 11s sold. They sold out globally in approximately 3 hours. They increased the retail in Australia from 240 to 260. And the numbers I saw online, once again, not my numbers, but it looks like that was an $80 million payday on that one colorway of the one shoe. Moving forward for Jordan Brand, I know quantities are getting cut down for Australia this year, but the lineup for January and February alone
it's insanity. Ridiculous. Like if you liked any silhouette as a kid, like you're like, oh, I don't like the fives, I like the fours. You can get it. You'll get it. You get the colorway you loved.
Isn't that the thing?
It's crazy, but like, are they just going back to how they should have been made originally with this whole premium thing?
Like, I could probably talk about the quality of shoes and the whole podcast based on the fact that I literally hold them under my nose, and to some degree you do too for a living. But it kind of worries me a little bit that in a year, all these people are going to have 20 pairs of Jordans and then realize they don't give a shit and then want to flog them, which kind of is bad for the scene.
Saturating the market.
But at the same time, it's Jordan Brand, you know? So it's going to be interesting. I mean, they're doing the remastered versions, which look fresh, like those Oreo 4s, like I'm all about. I had a chance to get they're calling it the Legend Blue 4, even though it's a different blue, the first one that's coming out this weekend.
Oh, is it
the old leather blue?
Oh, yeah, remastered. That's the first one, isn't it?
The first one. Yeah. I passed on that already. I mean, it looks nice, but whatever. And then, but like everything that I always wanted, I'll get, like you said, get this year, like Chicago 10s with the 45. That was a PE you used to have to pay like $6,000 for.
Yeah.
You'll get it for retail now. Sacramento Jordan 10s I always wanted. You'll get them now. There's all this stuff coming, like Marvin the Martian Jordan 7s. Ridiculous. Yeah. Like, that's killer. There's just so much, like, you can be a sneaker. If you're a sneakerhead and you miss a release this year, shut up. There'll be another one next week. Like, there is no reason to get like super upset about anything anymore. Like, everything is going to be available, and it's got to a point now, like, if they're racking up 350,000, what the resale on 350,000 pairs of Legend Blues, I mean, you see them, they're not going for super like super value. So if they're going to be, obviously the quantities of the remastered stuff's even less, but yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going
to
be too much of a problem
anymore.
What
point does it get to? Like, are they going to, you know, are we going to have, so there's a release, I saw Jan, Feb, March,
yeah.
I think.
There's like 14 like, or something.
Okay,
14
so Fragment Jordan 1s and was it the Gift of Flight pack that came out? Like, you know, we had lines for all those ones. Mm-hmm. Are we going to have lines for all of these shoes, or are they going to be sought after? Or
I think it's
just
inevitable.
Are these just seeing, or are they going to be like just generally, by the end of the year when you've just dropped like $5,000 on sneakers?
Yeah.
Which I'm sure a lot of us
is going to happen. Yeah, like, exactly.
You're going to be like, well, maybe I can't line up for this one. Like, maybe I'll pass on this one. Is it? Yeah, you're right. Is it a way of, or is it a form of them saturating the market that they're not aware of? But
I think you and I becoming the way, like, we're becoming more selective. Like I say, I had a chance to secure a pair of, no pun intended, a pair of Legend Blue 4s already, and I passed.
Mm.
You know, back in the day, I would have just locked them up and... But now, you know, it's got to the point where I have so many pairs of shoes, I'm like, well, shit, it's going to have to really stand out.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as well. Like, you really want to... It is a standout. So it used to be like, I'll take any release that's coming.
Yeah.
SBs for me especially, but, you know, Jordans as well.
Yeah.
It was just like, whatever. Oh, it's coming out. I'll get it.
Well, my favorite rumor now is that, like, above the remastered, I've heard this from a few different people, is that there's exotics coming now from Jordan Brand too. So... much like the customizers have made popular over the last couple of years, all this, like, you know, Anaconda, Python, Gator,
JVF
Ostrich,
and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, all those customs are actually going to start making their way into the manufactured world. Mm. And I've heard, like, I mean, this is hardly confirmed. I haven't spoken to anyone at Jordan Brand about it, but it seems like that's the direction they're going. I mean, potentially the increased price point and the remastered editions then lead on to the exotics. Like, what can you do? Like, everyone's going to have everything they want at the end of next year, right? Like, everyone's going to... You want a Carmine 6? Everyone's got it.
Yeah.
You want a Marvin the Martian, whatever, 7? You got it. What are you going to do to make people buy it?
Yeah, because it used to be really cool to be able to... If you had a pair of, like, one of my favorite Jordans was, like, Grapes.
Yeah.
I just saw that you had
a pair
of them
there.
But, you know, I used to... I think it was after the first retro. I got the first retro, and I used to, like, love the fact that there wasn't that many around.
Yeah, exactly.
And you rolled them, and not that many people had them.
Yep.
But now you're right. Like, yeah, Carmines, whatever, you name it. Like, even look at the Infrared. How many times... Sorry, MX-90 Infrared I'm referring to, but, like, how many times has that been...
It's every 18 months that shoe comes out,
so
at least.
It's so annoying. But they didn't touch it for a while, and then it was just like, oh, people want the Infrared. Okay, we'll just go over and over again. Yeah.
I know. It's interesting the way they're doing it. But, I mean, it is also funny that the 25th anniversary of the Air Force One, they did the Anaconda and Gator skin shoe for $1,500, like we've already mentioned. So... I don't want to, like, it would be super cool if that happened in, like, 6 months. I'd be like, hey, first podcast, we called it. But, like, it seems like that's a no-brainer, and I would suggest that's going to happen. Like, I haven't seen it in any, like, forecast sheets or anything, but I'd say it's going to happen before the end of, the end of this year.
You would think so, but it's just funny with Jordan Brand. It somehow just regenerates and gets strength. I don't know how it's doing it. Like, when they're, like, 3 Lab 5s and... all this crazy stuff that's going on, like glow in the dark, was it Lab 4s? Lab 1s, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff's selling out. I'm just amazed that it's still, like, there's so much strength in the brand. But maybe, this is it. Maybe there's too much. Like, there's always a teetering point, right? You release 400 Jordan 5s, different colorways. Okay, it's going to be done, right?
Yeah. And that's the thing. But you got a lot of kids moving back into trainers now, too. I mean, you got Saucony coming up. You got Puma pushing hard. I mean, obviously, they signed Rihanna, and they're doing a whole bunch of streetwear stuff. I've been lucky enough to see a lot of the stuff that's coming out at the end of this year, and there's some killer shit I wish I could talk about, which I've seen, which is super nice.
Yeah.
And then you've got, and you've always got New Balance coming back again and killing it. It feels like they've been rejuvenated again. Everyone, like all OG, like real old school sneakerheads wear New Balance, but it feels like every 2 or 3 years, the new kids wear New Balance too. So it feels like that's coming back again. And yeah, Jordan Brand, I mean, they got competition. It'll be interesting to see what happens though. I mean, there's no doubt they owned 2014 and they'll probably own 2015 because of the 30th anniversary. I mean, it's made for it.
Do you think that just on another, like the premium, like the remastering of all these shoes, do you reckon it was something to go up against this new like bracket of sneakers we're seeing, like Buscemi's, Y3s, you name it, like all the designer labels? I could go through all of them. You know, we're seeing retails starting at $440, I guess, for a Y3, which is quite reasonable.
I think so,
all the way up until Buscemi's at $800. Then you got up to $1,800 for Vuittons.
I think Vuittons are $1,418, somewhere in there.
Do you think this, and the retail is going up for these Jordans, do you think it was something that they were like, well, maybe we can capitalize?
Well, if you get a custom from a lot of the guys, you're paying $1,500 to $2,500 for them anyway, and these guys are rocking around in exotic Jordans that they've spent $2,500 for. Maybe they spent $400 on buying the shoe in the first place. So there's obviously a market for people spending that money.
Buscemi sold it. Like from launch, I know it's different now. You can get them quite easily, but from launch, the marketing was amazing. They sold out. They were hard to get in New York, all the New York boutiques. Sold out. You had who was it? Bieber got like six.
Swizz Beatz bought like 20 pairs
That's right. Bieber got a couple pairs. He got like 20 pairs.
Something like that.
Everyone was all over them. Now he's got a strong brand.
Yeah,
he's going into slides. Like whatever.
Slides. What do you know? Did you check the price point on those slides? I didn't want to know. I saw it and I was like, I don't want to know.
Was there a price? I don't think it.
Was there no price?
No, I think it's just preview.
I saw the picture and I was like, it looks nice, but I don't want to know.
Be like $450. The cap was $250. I can't remember.
We are talking Australian dollars, which is a little different to US, but
still quite expensive.
Still quite expensive.
Expensive cap.
Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, it's funny with Buscemi too. Like, they absolutely crushed. And to get someone like Swizzy, who's the face of Reebok, to go and cop 20 pairs is no mean feat. It's kind of like LeBron being photographed in 2x U tights. It's just whoops, like it wasn't supposed to happen.
Getting free press from like Bieber. That kid's like, he used to be number one. Now he's number two on Instagram.
To Rihanna?
Yeah. When they got rid of the spammers, it recently flipped.
Did it?
Who was number one? Yeah, no. I think because Bieber's not.
Because Rihanna she didn't lose that many, I think.
I think Kardashian now might be number one.
Oh, that's disgusting.
But anyway, Bieber's up there. He's got a million, whatever. If not more.
Yeah. Isn't she Skechers? Well played, Skechers.
Those
shape shoes? Whatever. Oh. I don't know about that. But yeah, no, well, I guess maybe that had something to do with why Puma went after Rihanna too.
Mm. Yeah, very true.
So,
free marketing. All she has to do is have a pair on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And not be on a banner, but put it on Instagram.
We're not talking about it, but we know what Paris Hilton did for Von Dutch back in the day.
Yes.
How many people who wore Von Dutch actually knew what the brand was? We did not wear Von Dutch.
No.
As a disclaimer. All right. We're going to move on to our next topic because we're racking up minutes here. It's just a bit of fun. Obviously, the ZX Flux took ID to a whole new level this year, and not can you just do only colorways. You can sublimate photographs, prints, whatever now onto their shoes, which obviously leads you to copyright potential infringement and people putting inappropriate stuff like dick pics on shoes and all sorts of stuff. So this topic is basically, what do we want to print on our ZX Fluxes?
Yeah.
And my mind went absolutely nuts. I came up with a clear cut first thing. I have a number one ultimate thing.
You want to say it, for it.
It is a level map for Mario.
Oh, that's good.
The original Mario. So pixelated square blocking. You could have two versions. You could have the day map and the lava level map. Whoa, it would be super fresh because you could wrap the entire map around the shoe. And it would just be super cool. Like, maybe it wouldn't aesthetically look as cool as something like a stack of shoes printed.
Yeah.
Which I'll get into in a second. But that was my number one by far. Like, you see Mario Customs and I've seen people try and execute it, but to have it sublimated on and actually have it perfect, a level, like you could do the same thing with Sonic the Hedgehog, but it would just be so fresh to have a level map on there. Oh, and that's like my inner nerd coming out.
Oh, no,
but
it'd be awesome.
I thought it would be super cool. That was like my favorite thing I thought of.
Yeah, no, like I've actually had, it was a tough one for me to sort of think. I was just thinking like, how rude could you make it? Like,
yeah.
How ridiculous it could be. And I was just thinking like, I don't know what the filter is on it, but I'm thinking like what sort of porn or like just something that could really, you know, make people turn an eye. It's probably not going to look that good on a shoe. But
It's funny you mentioned that. Like, but way back in the day when I was painting shoes in my bedroom, as like while I was at university, I actually got approached by a porn company to paint the cover of a porno. We're not going to go too into this because this is a G-rated podcast, but like on the shoe, they wanted to paint the cover on the shoe and they wanted the swoosh to be do something rather inappropriate. And I passed on it because I was like, I can't be like sitting in my bedroom painting this and like, yeah, no, this is research. Like I'm getting paid for this.
Yeah,
like, so it's fine.
It's all right. You would have been done the research anyway. It's fine.
What I do in my own spare time is what I do in my own spare time. But so it is funny. Surely there's going to be someone there. I've read that there's a bit of a disclaimer there. I mean, obviously there's going to be 10,000 people putting Coors and SpongeBob garbage on their shoes.
Yeah.
Not that it's garbage, but it's copyright.
But that's what I mean. You know, there's a massive line there, like even your work. Like,
yeah.
So you could get easily printed like a high-res photo straight onto a shoe. Like,
yeah.
And it's only, 30 centimeters long.
Exactly.
So it doesn't need to be that big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you have any other ideas other than the offensive ones?
No, there's nothing actually specific on that one. It was more just like offensive. And then I just remembered a time when, you could do customized credit cards and I got really, really annoyed that they wouldn't let me put memes on credit cards.
They wouldn't?
No,
I would have put Futurama, take my money all freaking day.
I went through like, you know, 10s, 20, like, but the approval process would take like 48 hours. So they'd reject it and I'd go back to them again. Yeah. I had some great memes. I was really stoked and then they would decline it. But anyway, that was,
I have one or two other things. The Goonies map. I would love to have on a shoe. You can get a high-res version of the Goonies treasure map online. Puma killed the Goonies collab. It was unbelievable with the disc bias, but that would be something I'd put on there. Something that I don't think they'd let me, which I would want, is just a stack of shoes. So, like, I've got stacks of shoes to the roof, like, maybe 10, 20 shoes wide. A high-res photo of a stack of shoes printed. Like, you know how they did the cushions? They've done cushions and shirts.
Applebaum, the brand Applebaum did it. Yeah.
They did it. That would be rad. I mean, obviously, there's probably going to be Nike, Jordan, Reebok, Puma boxes in there, so I don't know if they'd let it go through, but that would look sick. And then an obvious, like, movie nerd thing, Matrix code would be cool too.
Yeah.
So they're the things I thought of. I mean, you could put anything on there. For me, the level map was like by far the number one thing, other than like, I didn't want to just go say like Sin City panels from comic books and like the Watchmen panels of like the squid. Like, so I tried to pull it back a little bit, but
yeah, well, actually I was just thinking why I just try and put swishes on it.
Yeah. You see who did
or
it.
Just like, you know, I don't know, put like Air Jordan on the back, Jumpman with, swooshes or something like that.
Something.
Just see what gets through.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's completely off topic, but like there was dodgy Coke bottles that got through in that like ID your Coke thing that they did like last year. So you never know. Something might slip through the cracks. our last topic for today is what shoes would these 80s characters have worn? So as you could probably tell with the suggestions I've made in the previous category, I do love 80s and 90s games and movies. So I thought it would be a fun topic to go back based on, like, kind of would have been a good segue to move on from that Goonies Puma reference, but to pick a bunch of characters from our favorite 80s and 90s action movies and sort of try and land a shoe on them. So it'll be a modern shoe. We're not all going to pick, like, Racers and Elites and Air Force Ones and Chuck Taylors. We're not going to put them all in Converse weapons, but we'll pick something a little bit more modern and try and fit it to a classic character. And then, just as a reminder, if you do have suggestions for topics, hit us up. It will make our job easier and I will not just pick 80s movies all the time.
Yeah, all the same topics every second week.
Yeah. So let's do more Ghostbusters characters.
Yeah. What would...
funny that. Like, so number one is one of my favorite movies ever is Ghostbusters. And Peter Venkman is such a classic character. Bill Murray has become a cult icon.
God,
yeah. So
he's the reason I like. He that movie single-handedly is the reason I became obsessed with Bill Murray after that movie.
Did you?
Oh, 100%. I've got absolutely love him.
I've got the huge, you know, obviously no one can see this. I've got the big 21-inch Diamond Select Stay Puft Banks and the Nika Stay Puft Man. Like, I've got Stay Puft stuff all over the room. So this guy was a no-brainer for number one. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, well, you told me you were going to own me on this one. So, listen, loving Ghostbusters, I really wanted to own it too, but I don't know.
I'm confident in it, but I don't know if anyone else is going to care about what I picked. Like, it's not going to be a popular selection.
All right, so I was thinking, I went a little bit older school, and I was thinking Venkman, he's not going to wear a new pair of sneakers. I'm thinking what he's actually going to wear.
Yeah.
I'm thinking he's going to wear a pair of OG Adidas Top 10 Lows in all white, and they turn a little bit off-white.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, this is because I had Air Max, I had this, I had that in my head. I'm like, nah, what would he actually wear? It wouldn't have anything to do with the Ghostbusters. It'd just be like a cool shoe.
Yeah.
Good silhouette of the time. Like, I think that came out in 86.
You could see him in his like leisure suit hitting on like students in his lab wearing those shoes.
Oh, totally. And I can't remember the actual release date, but I remember looking at it and going, and the movie came out like 5 years after. I'm like, yeah, they're going to be beaten up. They're going to look awesome. So that was me. All right, go for it. What do you got?
Mine's ridiculous. And I went a little bit in a different direction. I was like, well, the Ghostbusters uniform is so iconic. It's that gray.
Yep.
The shoe I picked is the Reebok Alien Stomper.
Oh.
Yeah. So like a lot of people.
I had that in my, you're not going to believe it. I had that because I was looking through sneaker books.
Yeah, I thought it, like,
are you kidding me?
Yeah, I was the first thing that really popped into my head. The most significant colorway of that shoe was probably the gray with red highlights. It would have perfectly matched their uniform. The red detailing in the Proton pack would match the red detailing in the shoes. That vicious strap is like super 80s. It just seemed like the perfect shoe. Obviously, if it was the Reebok, like, Ghost Stomper, like, it would literally be perfect, but
you would have won the game.
Yeah, I would have just dropped my mic and rolled. Yeah,
I'd be walking out of here right now.
But yeah, I thought the Reebok Alien Stomper, if you don't know what the shoe is, Google it. It's a kind of nasty looking shoe. I've only had one pair, and it was probably 10 years ago, but it would be perfect. I thought it would be perfect for Venkman in Ghostbuster mode.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure. Oh, yeah, exactly. And then when he chills, at his top 10s.
Yeah.
Just, there you go. No worries.
All right. So number two is maybe my second or third favorite movie of all time. I am a junkie for Kurt Russell action movies, and Big Trouble in Little China is easily my favorite. I literally watched it last night. I do love this movie.
I didn't watch it last night.
I legit did. I made my girlfriend sit through it. So Jack Burton from Big Trouble in Little China.
Classic character.
Classic character. If you haven't seen the movie, I'm not even going to try and sum it up. It's too ridiculous. I actually had the discussion last night with my girlfriend about whether or not they could remake it, and I don't think they could. The cheese and the effects were so important to like pulling that off that if they tried to do it with modern effects, it would just be shit.
It would be terrible. Episode one all over again. So just why don't you just CGI the whole thing? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I know. It'd be sick. Yeah. Anyway. Let's get J.J. Abrams to do it. So this is turning into a movie blog.
Yeah.
A podcast. So anyway, do you want me to go first on this one?
No, I'll go first. On this one, I spent a bit of time on all of these because I was up in arms as to whether I should go like a boot or not.
Oh, I did this exact thing.
But I settled on, and it's a specific colorway that's, I think it's coming out this year or just come out recently. I didn't get them if they're out. It's the Nike Air Raid in the black, flint, gray, white.
Yeah, very good.
Just because like straps, black, white. Sick shoe, like, you know, it's got a big, thick sole. He kicked down people. That's what I'm thinking on there.
He rocks acid, like, acid wash denim jeans with a white singlet and a machine gun. It seems it would work.
Yeah.
I had a runner-up for this. It would be the Rhylite, the Nike Rhylite. It's a vicious ACG shoe that I don't know anyone would really know much about.
Yeah, I was looking at ACGs, actually.
Yeah, it is a brutal ACG shoe. But my winner was the Air Force One Duck Boot. So, once again, another dark horse selection. If you've seen the movie, he spends quite a lot of time in different areas of Chinese hell, like different layers of hell. He spends time underwater, running through sewage drains.
Yeah, they do pretty well, but the ACGs would do pretty well too.
Yeah, exactly. So, I was like, you know what? The Air Force One, because he wears high-cut boots, a high-cut Air Force One, like Air Force One High, And then the duck boot would give him a bit more like traction and durability. I was like, duck boots where I land.
Yeah, I think I'll give you this one. Because you've watched this movie, I think, a million more times than I have.
I actually want a Big Trouble in Little China tattoo. I just can't figure out what to get.
Just on your chest. Like,
just get the singlet title, tattoo. Yeah, whatever.
Why not?
I don't need my body turning into like a pop culture thing, which is what it is based on my tattoos at the moment. But I know you're like really proud of what you've picked for the next one. So next is Beetlejuice, a movie that scared the crap out of me as a kid, but yeah, I love as an adult.
Yes.
Look, everyone remembers his crazy green hair, messed up makeup, black and white pinstripe tailored suit. So, what did you come up with?
When I had these topics, I blurted out what I was going to do, and
I was going to act like I didn't know, but I think you've already won this, just so people know in advance.
The Shacknosis in black white, no brainer.
One of my top like 10 shoes of all time.
Oh, it's
as
amazing.
Well.
I had the red white as a kid, as a youngster, and loved it. Absolutely loved the shoe to death. I think I wore them off my feet because I loved them so much. And the black white goes with the suit.
Killer.
What do you got?
I couldn't beat it. Like, it literally is perfect. There is a whole bunch of different shoes over the years, particularly from Reebok, that did have black and white stripes.
Mm. Yeah.
But I couldn't do a list like this without mentioning Jordan Brand at least once. He's wearing a suit. It's black and white. It has stripes. The Jordan 11 Concord. But I would make the lace loops black.
Hold on, he's buying these at a store.
There was no instruction here. Like, if
he's
they were stuck
in, and this is like period, right?
All
right,
well then, because I was like, well, Air Jordan 10s to 12s all have striped panels, so I was like, it could work if you did 10s with the stripes or the 12s with the stripes, but the 11 being the patent leather based on suit shoes,
he would have worn them for a bit, they would have like matched the look of his suit.
Look, I mean, me being a customizer wanted to put like a green inner lining in them and like do all this like dumb stuff.
You weren't around when the movie was made, so he's buying them at the store.
All right, next up is maybe the most famous action movie of the era.
I would say timeless movie.
It's gonna have to be up there. Arnold in Terminator is gonna be the selection that's up next. I'll let you go. I'm not super keen. I think mine's good, but I'm not super pumped on it. We're not picking the Terminator, right? Like, we're not picking the Nike Terminator.
I didn't even think about it. I was more picking these shoes based on like the movie, like what they would wear if they weren't wearing, let's just say, boots.
Yeah.
So I went with the Timberland black scale, which is black camo.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was thinking, you know, it's gritty, it's big, it's high, you ride a bike with it, it's got a little bit of camo on it. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I think that probably beats me. I had as a runner up, Foamposite, Podposite, Flightposite.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So obviously real heavy duty shoe, something that looks heavy duty, kind of Timberland esque, particularly in the Foamposite, especially when you go in the metallics. They've got copper and chrome versions.
Yeah, there's a silver, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, I had the Podposites as a kid because my parents didn't want to buy me penny ones.
T1000 could wear those.
Yeah, silvers. So we mentioned T1000. The winner is the LeBron 11 Gamma Blue for the T1000. That shoe, the minute I saw it, I went, holy shit, a Transformer could wear this.
Yeah.
But by the same token,
love them.
The angular paneling, the metallic Gamma Blue, the chrome.
Oh, nailed it.
That was my
T1000.
Yeah. And we're kind of wrapping things up here, but we're going to go with another one of my favorite movies, an absolute classic and something that I like so much. It's not in my like top couple of movies, but it's so important to me that it was really hard. Deckard in Blade Runner. So this one's really tricky.
This was tricky.
It's a sci-fi movie. Obviously, a couple of these have been sci-fi, but it was so based on like neon and grunge.
Oh, that it was great. Like,
really tricky to pick a shoe for this. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you my runners up and then you tell me what you picked and then we'll go with my last one. So my runner up was the LA Gear with the lights.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah,
I
so...
Cool.
Well, the whole movie, like, the aesthetic of the way it's shot, the neon stuff in the movie
the
was...
The time was right, too, because...
right around the right time.
91? No, wait, Blood Rage, it would have been...
A bit 80s. Earlier, I think. Yeah. So, that was there. Now, a shoe that's always looked out of place in time to me is a shoe I've mentioned five times today, the Puma Disc. I can't specifically identify Descartes wearing it, which is why I didn't pick it, but I would almost suggest it would be appropriate just based on like how futuristic the shoe was and still looks.
Yeah, the shoe still looks panels, futuristic. It still looks like it's 5 years too early.
Yeah, so the disc is my other runner-up. So I'll let you pick your winner and then I'll tell you what I picked.
I went with a quite obscure one. But I tried to...
I like obscure.
Yeah, I hope... it's a release from a while ago. It's a New Balance 576 they did with Real Mad Hectic and Stussy.
Yeah.
It's just a quick rundown on the shoe. It was like generally like that sort of reddy brown all over, and it had 3M on the end. Awesome silhouette. I was thinking 3M's futuristic. The brown sort of matches his trench coat-y sort of vibe, although the whole movie's shot in like 80% dark.
Yeah.
apart from a few scenes. That's what I was thinking there with that one.
Okay, I went with something that's had an anniversary this year, if that gives you a hint. I'm just going to blurt it out. The Reebok Pump Fury.
Oh, yeah.
So, I know you love them.
Oh, I love Pump Furies.
It's an iconic silhouette, a futuristic silhouette, a silhouette that has had a number of colorways that I think...
Which one specifically? Have you got a...
I couldn't even care less. There'd be like five. Like this year...
You don't have a cupboard full?
No, I think I only have a couple of pairs. I don't have a lot of them, even though I like them. But I mean, even the... like OG color, the stock original first color, red and yellow.
Can't go past that one.
I mean, and then that fits the dirty alleys, like the neon lights. But then there's also been some really nice laid back colorways this year, which have dropped, which I think would more match his personality.
Yeah.
But I thought that was obviously...
That's really good, actually. I'm pretty jealous of that.
I put some time into the pick of these, just quietly.
I've got them in they're on my rotation at the moment. I should have just looked in the cupboard. That's really a really good selection. Because that shoe, as well as the discs, does look quite futuristic still. But it's very wearable, that shoe.
I was pretty happy about it. There was things about Descartes that I tried to get into the shoe but struggled with. Like, I was like, well, ACG, because it's always raining and he's always, like, in murky kind of places.
I was in the same place, pretty much. With that and Jack Burton, I was in ACG. I wasn't sure if I should go with an ACG or not.
Yeah, so I guess that's what we've come up with. Feel free to hit us back on my Twitter and tell us if we got it completely wrong, or tell us if you have one that's even better. And if you... have a suggestion that really stand out to me, I'll give you a shout out next week on the episode, because this is something, this might even be like a range of customs for me moving forward. I think it would be a heap of fun.
Well, it's like five of your favorite topics, pretty much, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean,
we've nailed it, right?
I'm assuming listening to this that there's a chance you've seen my shoes before, and I tend to just base them on like comic books, movies, and stuff.
I think if you take Beetlejuice and put Willy Wonka in, we'd be like nailing it.
I couldn't put Willy Wonka in. Like, for people who don't, like, I have a Willy Wonka tattoo. That is my number one movie of all time. I do not acknowledge the remake, so don't even disrespect me with that on Twitter.
Or I mention it.
I probably just caused 100 people to do it, but I hate the remake. The original is all that I care about, and I just couldn't put it on the list. It couldn't be on there. But if you guys have anything that you think beats ours, feel free to let us know. I guess that kind of wraps us up for today. I just want to say thank you for joining me on the first episode. If you have any suggestions for topics, feel free once again to hit me up on Twitter or on my Facebook page. You probably don't want to comment on my Instagram just for podcast stuff, but you know, wherever makes you happy. And then we'll make sure to give you a shout out if we use the topic in the next episode. We're going to try and do this once a week, once every other week. And then there'll also be the feature interviews with artists and designers and inventors and stuff coming up as well. So make sure you stay tuned, and until next time, cheers, mate.
See you guys.